answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
General Carrillo, I want to return to your answer to Senator Fisher about the threat of terrorist attacks originating from Afghanistan. If I heard you right, you said you believe that such attacks could occur in a mere 6 months out of Afghanistan against American citizens or allies or partners in Eurasia. Is that right?
Senator, I said abroad, which I would also include Europe in that.
Eurasia. But you said less than... More than that against the American homeland.
It would be harder for them to do that against the American homeland.
If you assess 6 months against Europe or Asia, what would you assess would be the timeline against a homeland?
I think it's hard to put a timeline on that, but again, I assess that they could in as little as 6 months with little to no warning, and I'll talk about that in the closed session as to why I assess that.
In other words, we're going to have to close the doors to give you more details, Senator. That was Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, raising questions with Army General Michael Carrillo. He is the head of the U.S. Central Command, addressing the Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday. We told you about this, that the general suggesting Americans could be under target within 6 months by some Taliban, ISIS, I should say, ISIS members working out of Afghanistan. This is March 17, 2023. This issue is right in our face again. Now, he was talking both, they could organize attacks in the Europe area, Western world in that extent, but also suggesting that the U.S. homeland is not beyond a possible attack. And, of course, American citizens, wherever they might be. Again, back to Senator Cotton.
How likely do you think a terrorist attack on the United States or one of our allies is originating from Afghanistan?
I think it is a higher probability overseas than it is in the homeland.
When you add up all the troops you have in your area of responsibility and American citizens who are there for business or tourism or pilgrimages on any given day, what are we talking about? Probably hundreds of thousands, right?
At least.
So hundreds of thousands within range of a terrorist attack in your assessment in a mere 6 months from Afghanistan.
That's frightening. That's in Europe and those traveling abroad. Then come back to the homeland, which he said, I need to talk to you more detail behind closed doors. And here's a big reason, our open border. The Republicans have been holding some conferences along the border, asking questions of Border Patrol agents, and they're very concerned about these who are getting by, that we know we've caught some that are terrorists because they're on a no-fly list. Florida Congressman Carlos Jimenez.
The majority of the migrants coming through, they actually follow signs. It takes them right to the Customs and Border Patrol agents, and they turn themselves in, knowing that in all probability they're going to be allowed in the United States. There's 1.3 million that we know of, and like the chief said, there's another 10 or 20%. I actually think that number is a little low. I think it's even higher than that. That got away, that don't want to be detected, and they got away. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they came from. We don't know where they are, and we certainly don't know what they're doing here or what their intentions are.
Potential terrorists and criminals are figuring out that America's border is wide open. I'll get in that way.
Oh no! Even the chief, and I got to give him kudos for his courage. He told us that out of the 9 sectors that he controls, the Customs and Border Protection agents, you know, have 5 of them are out of control. He has no operational control on 5 of the 9 sectors in our southern border, which is in direct contradiction to what Secretary Mayorkas has been telling us for 2 years, that no, that the border is under control. The chief in charge of all those agents has said and told us under oath that 5 of those sectors are out of control. So basically, no, not basically, the secretary has been lying to us for the last 2 years.
No doubt about it. No doubt. Oh, there's new information about another Biden family member being named as getting Chinese money.
House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer revealing new evidence showing that President Biden's daughter-in-law, Haley, also received Chinese payments from business associate Rob Walker. bank records show that Hallie Biden got $35,000 in 2017 through Walker's State Energy HK Limited, a firm affiliated with CEFC China Energy. The White House is dismissing the findings, telling Fox News, quote, after a disgusting attack, lamenting that the president's deceased son, Beau, was never prosecuted while he was alive, Congressman Comer has now decided to go after Beau's widow.
Yeah, they're trying to make it sound so shameful when they're following the money. It may be that she didn't know the source of the money. Miranda Devine, who broke the story about the Hunter Biden laptop, says Hallie also has no experience in energy companies.
It just shows that Haley, who worked at a primary school there in Delaware as a guidance counselor, didn't have any expertise any more than Hunter did to work on these big international business deals. It's just a kickback for Joe Biden's immediate family members, four of whom are listed on the bank accounts as having benefited from this one tranche. Remember, just one of many tranche of $3 million that was paid to the Biden family and their associates by this Chinese energy conglomerate, which is not just any old company, as Hunter Biden's lawyers are trying to say, a private company. That's not how it works in China.
No, of course not. In China is a communist Chinese company. Now, when Hallie realizes out of a $3 million check, she got $35,000, she could be a woman scorned. She might be the weak link in the Biden family. It starts rolling over and telling everything she knows about this Biden money and influence peddling. That may be the next big breakthrough. Hey, you remember Jussie Smollett, right? The star who was in the streets of Chicago in the middle of the morning out to buy a sandwich and said he was attacked by Trump supporters who put a rope around his neck after beating on him, saying, this is MAGA country. And so many leftists came to his side, saying, oh, poor Jussie, we're with you. They're so mean people. There's a new development in that story. And it's not good for Jussie this time either. Plus, first-year medical students being told at one university, you need to ignore the patient's gender. You need to be more woke. We'll use a gingerbread man, woman, cross, whatever, as an example. You think I'm kidding? Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer, be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. The woke culture is everywhere you turn now, right in your face. And before we get too deep into it, let me remind you, every time you see it, fight against it. And here's another reason why you should. First-year medical students are being told to call women as people with cervixes. I don't know what they're going to call a woman with a womb. I guess people with wombs. That would only be a woman, would it not be? Tyler O'Neill, contributor, editor, managing editor, I should say, for the Daily Signal and with Heritage Foundation, put out a great piece on this about what's happening at Indiana University and how one professor is slamming back against this. Tyler, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks, Larry.
So when I'm looking at this, I mean, and we point out that first med students are told to call women people with cervixes, and then we have the professor slam this as an anti-biological lesson. All of this is taking place as first-year med students at Indiana University School of Medicine. This just started. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it's not clear how long ago it started. What we do know is that this document, which was obtained by an organization called Do No Harm, the document goes through, and I think that was the part that really stood out to me, was calling women, you know, people with cervixes. But this is the continual, you know, this is the redefinition of language that we're seeing on this transgender movement. And the other thing that really stood out on this, so this was a PowerPoint presentation that's being given to first year med students, first course, not like first class, but in the early stages of med school, and they're telling them to use quote unquote inclusive terminology. And then they make this, you know, not only is it weird that they're trying to redefine terms and get people to stop using quote unquote gendered language, like calling people women. But the interesting thing here, they acknowledged, you know, that linguistic practices are open to change as LGBTQIA plus advocates redefine their perspectives on language. So in other words, you have this med school essentially saying, hey, look, we're going to change how we refer to anything based on what the LGBT activists tell us.
Now, with that in mind, when you mentioned the PowerPoint, I suddenly flashed into my mind, did they show a picture of a woman, you think, when they did that, or they just had some figure up there? I wonder what they showed, what PowerPoint. But they want to say that gender and sex, I mean, that male and female are not really assigned at birth. I mean, we've heard this before, and we've heard others say, well, we don't know if it's a boy or girl yet. We'll have to wait till it grows up. What?
Yeah, well, even that language, you know, assigned at birth, it's saying that it's assigned, not recognized. I mean, the bizarre thing is these people act as though your biological sex is something that's being foisted upon you by society, when in reality, it goes down to the basic, you know, it goes down to every cell in your body, every adult cell, rather, where your chromosomes are either XX or XY. And there are a few, you know, tragic circumstances where you get X, X, Y, and X, and some other configuration. We call those people intersex, but that doesn't mean they're an entirely new sex. It's a disorder of sexual development. We know it's a disorder because human beings are sexed creatures. We are male and female, and that's how we reproduce, and that's basic biology 101. So it's really shocking when you have a medical institution going whole hog onto something that is anti-biological like this.
And that's the whole thing about it. I mean, it's not just one of the other classes. We're talking about medical students. But you've got a professor that you talked with that said he didn't even know they were doing this. And I think he is with the medical school, right? He didn't even know they were doing that until suddenly somebody from the Daily Signal called and said, hey, have you heard about this?
Yeah, no, he hadn't heard. And it's interesting, they didn't have any internal discussions about this. And, you know, this PowerPoint presentation encourages, you know, it condemns most textbooks for presenting sex as non-binary. And then it says it will take time to update. They're essentially saying, look, we want you to move away from the textbooks that you've been using that have been fine for decades on this, that have been actually clear. And we want to voice this new trans language on everything. And yeah, it was shocking to me when he said nobody had been talking about this, but he said in general, you know, not only there in in his classrooms at his school was this not discussed. But any sort of, you know, criticism is automatically shut down in many aspects of our society. And he actually compared that to the way that the Soviet Union under Joseph Stalin, he said, you know, it reminds me of what I've read about the Stalinist era and the way scientists were handled by the regime during the 20th century.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And for those not familiar with history, good reason to remember that if you don't know history, you will end up repeating it, and it will repeat itself, and you're not aware of the context.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because under Stalin, scientists were, you know, patronized and even fetishized like never before, but they also lived their lives on a knife's edge, because if they said anything that went against the narrative of the regime, they would face, you know, exile, imprisonment, or death. And, you know, this sort of fear of not saying anything that might be construed as going against the narrative, that's the way a lot of scientists are today, because of how much this trans ideology is foisted on the scientific community.
You're listening to Tyler O'Neill with the Daily Signal. Now, I did find it in this PowerPoint. I was wondering how they were identifying. I see that you included it in the article. They have the they use a gingerbread person. I mean, it looks like a gingerbread. Oh, I can't say man. I'm sorry. I was getting ready to say gingerbread man. it's identified as a gingerbread person, and it has right down in the groin area. I can't quite make out if they're trying to say what that is. What is that down in the groin area?
Yeah. Well, I think it's this word called SEX. I'm not sure what it means. it has three symbols. And, or actually, it's all one symbol. So this person's clearly a hermaphrodite, right? It's both male, female, and whatever the intersex thing is. So this graphic is one that transgender activists use to voice this idea that gender and sex are not inherently united and a similar.
I'm sorry, it scares the hell out of me they did this, because next thing you know, you're going to see baking classes for kids in third grade with gingerbread, whatever, down in the groin area, where there's usually nothing. Go ahead.
No, that is, but I mean, it's funny, we can laugh and we should mock it, because it's
stupid.
Awkward.
It's stupid, first, in the idiocy.
But at the same time, this serious thing is presented to children.
Yeah.
Like, this is what they're teaching. And the gender-bred person was, as a concept, was created to teach children the difference between biological sex and gender identity, and to introduce these concepts of transgenderism to young kids who can barely, you know, who are learning basically what it means to be a man and a woman. You know, my daughter is three, and she will say to me, "Daddy, are you a man? Am I a girl?" And it's like, yes, you are.
Well, you know, and you're right. And kids at that age, and I don't know in your situation, I'm not trying to inquire, but, you know, when kids are that young, they often will be showering with mom or dad at the same time, you know, getting them clean at the same time. And they'll say, what's that? You know, they're inquisitive to that extent. But that's not being put in their mind that, am I a boy or a girl? It's just, what is that? What's it, you know? And the same thing with kids as they're growing up. Little kids playing doctor, which is not uncommon, realizing there's a difference. But then they get to school and they're told, yes, because you're a girl, he's a boy, and that's why the difference is. I'm like you, and as far as we're doing it at the university level, all right. We're doing it in grade school, not a good idea. But doing it again at a medical university, no, because they're losing the entire concept. You point out here this exclusive or inclusive, yeah, it's inclusive terminology, that the person first language is for the medical professional to place the person before a trait, condition, or diagnosis, where the anatomy-based language would focus on the organs, the tissues, and structures in relation to what they are, male or female.
Yeah, it's very interesting that slide, because that's where you get these weird you know, verbal constructions, such as people with cervixes, because they're separating sex from gender. And so they're suggesting, oh, just because you have a cervix, that doesn't make you a woman. Or just because, or, you know, you can be a woman if you don't have a cervix. And there are some people who have had their sex organs removed or changed, or, you know, we don't ever want to stigmatize such people. But at the same time, this language is not actually inclusive. It's exclusive and it's dehumanizing.
Yes. It's a very, very small percent of our U.S. population or the world population.
Oh, yeah. It's minuscule. In fact, calling it minuscule is to give it too much of a.
It's to the point where the LGBT, I mean, LGB community, the lesbian, gay, bi community, they were fine as they were, but they were also representing at that point, I think, point maybe 0.02%, maybe a little, maybe up to 0.5%. But then to get more collective and bring everybody in to make their voice bigger, then you start tacking on T, A, plus one, everything else. So now they're all morphed together, and a lot of the LGB, just the LGB, I don't want to be linked with those crazies.
Right. Well, and the shocking thing is among our kids, you know, among the next generation, you know, I think it's Gen Z right now, a shockingly high number of them are identifying as transgender, non-binary, all these weird things. And of course, it's not that they all want to go and force their bodies to conform to the opposite sex. It's that, you know, they're trying to make themselves stand out. And I mean, I remember middle school was tough.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted to be, you know, you want to distinguish yourself. You're starting to view the world in a new way, and they'll seize on these identities to feel special.
And to make you feel that something's wrong with you. Tyler, I want to thank you very much for your time. Tyler O'Neill, happy Paddy's Day, St. Paddy's Day to you.
Yeah, Lancha.
Lift a beer and a toast. Tyler O'Neill, Daily Signal.
It's hard to find a car you like, but here's an easier way. AckermanToyota.com. In a flash, you're going to see new and pre-owned. You can quickly select which model you want, price, colors, options, get details on financing, lifetime oil changes, lifetime engine warranty. Just click AckermanToyota.com. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. If you can't hear what I'm trying to say, if you can't read from the same page, maybe I'm going deaf, maybe I'm going blind, maybe I'm out of my mind. Okay, now he was close.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting that ByteDance is that Chinese parent company of TikTok, is under pressure from the Biden administration to sell out, get out of it. The Wall Street Journal reporting TikTok's Chinese parent company, ByteDance, under pressure by the U.S. government to sell the shares or face a ban in this country. Now, this is a significant policy shift by the Biden administration. It is sparking a new round of debate, many accusing the Biden administration of not taking the alleged security threat posed by the China-based company seriously enough. This is, of course, especially after the Chinese company hired a Biden-connected consulting firm. Isn't that nice? Hand in glove again. The sale demand being made by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., that's a multi-agency federal task force. TikTok stating in response, saying, hey, you force us to sell. That's not going to change the risk of alleged security breakage. That's still going to go on. It won't make any difference. In fact, in a statement, the TikTok spokesman stated, if protecting national security is the objective, divestment does not solve the issue. A change in ownership would not impose any new restrictions on data flows or access. Also arguing that a transparent American-based protection of user data and systems, including strong third-party monitoring, vetting, verification, is the best way to address national security concerns. Hey, I got an idea. I've got an idea for them. Why don't they just turn it over to AT&T and let AT&T decide what's propaganda and what's real and what should be shut off and what should not be presented to the American public? I'm joking. Because AT&T has told DirecTV, the video platform they use, to suspend service to Newsmax, remember? Cutting that conservative cable channel from millions of American households. They've also had other cable providers blacklist One American News because it's also a conservative news outlet. So why not let AT&T decide, well, the Chinese can have access to this, but they shouldn't be watching any of our conservative information, and the American people aren't going to see it either. Or maybe they'll say TikTok can have all the conservative information we don't want to show to the American people. And, of course, then we'll see how China reacts at that end. But there's a shakeup going on right now, letters being sent to the AT&T board of directors, highlighting that their decision to shut down DirecTV and those who are blacklisting One America News, you're subject to unfair, deceptive arts and practices, including a First Amendment violation. And as fiduciaries to AT&T shareholders, your duty is to ensure the company maximizes profits for the shareholders. State financial officers signing off on this letter involve those from Arkansas, Florida, Louisiana, Nebraska, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Utah, West Virginia, Wyoming, and they're making an excellent point. And, of course, if you look what happened with Silicon Valley Bank and how they were pushing money around into ESG plans, environmental, social governance programs, instead of looking out for their stockholders, those who had investments in the bank, not just had their own money in the bank, you're going to find there's a big gap of money that might have saved the bank from going belly up. You go woke, you go broke. AT&T has to look at that now as these state financial officers say, you could be in violation of the First Amendment. You want to put that up for play? I think it's good. Put the pressure on them all the way. Hey, you remember the name Jussie Smollett, obviously. His little incident in Chicago. Well, once again, Jussie is back in the news. But let's go back to an interview he gave ABC shortly after his story.
So I turned around and I said, did you just say to me, I mean, I see the attacker masked. And he said, this MAGA country punches me right in the face. So I punched his ass back. And then we started tussling. You know, it was very icy. And we ended up tussling by the stairs. Fighting. There was a second person involved who was kicking me in my back.
That's the story as told by Jussie Smollett to ABC News about how he was attacked on the streets of Chicago by two white guys, one of them maybe wearing a mask, but wearing MAGA hats and shouting, this is MAGA country, you're not allowed here. Full-out blown racist, naming Trump and MAGA supporters for the attack on this black gay man in the middle of the streets of Chicago early in the morning to go out and buy a sandwich. Well, it turned out that was all a lie, and now there's a documentary that's being done by Fox News pointing out that these two brothers who are from Nigeria say they were paid $3,500 to stage this attack, and they say that when it began to come unraveled, Smollett threw them under the bus. Here's how they described things were going down.
So we got here with 10 minutes to spare. and we had to plan our escape route to survey the land. His building is actually right here, right above the stairs that we're going to attack him at. We made sure we got there at 2 a.m. sharp.
On the dot.
On the dot. As we crossed the street, we said, hey, to get his attention.
Hey, Nick.
Hey. He turned around, looked at us, and that's when we started yelling the famous slurs he wanted us to yell. Hey.
Aren't you that Empire?
Empire fat Nick. It's MAGA country.
Yeah.
And then he said, what did you say to me? And then that's when I threw the first punch at him. And then I threw him to the ground. And while after I threw him to the ground, he had no bruise. I wanted it to look more real. So then I threw him to the ground. After I threw him to the ground, I used my knuckle and gave him a noogie. So I went like this. Why did I do that? To give him a scar, to give him a mark, to make it look real, like he really did get his ass beat.
And he had a little mark right up on one eye. And he realized after they were gone, he had a noose around his neck, something that looked like you would use to pull shades shut with. It's not a real rope, just a string you use for your window shades. And he still had it around his neck when police showed up at the hotel to take his report. I mean, why would you keep it around your neck? And they didn't even mention, by the way, did they, about at that part anyway, about even putting the rope around his neck. This docuseries that they're doing for Fox Digital, I think it is, will probably lay more details in, so maybe they did put it on or not. But one of them did say he wanted to be the poster boy for activism. He wanted to be the hero. And they took up his offer to beat him up because they thought it would also help their career. Plus, he's going to give them $3,500. And then they say after the fraud was revealed and they were betrayed by him, they called him, he's insane. But he was fearing he was going to be booted off the Empire show anyway, and so this was making it look better. Plus, MAGA country, it's those Trump people, those deplorables, as Clinton called them. It never happened. It was a hoax from the beginning. Most of us suspected it, but you had others rushing in. Oh, my God, poor Jossie. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So put this on your calendar, May the 1st. Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have the finest seafood, lobster, crab, caviar. May 1st, Napoli C opens on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3, which is also open for lunch and on Sundays. You can find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and then May 1st, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we got a question from someone watching our Rumble asking about my opinion and how I'm going to vote versus DeSantis and Trump. My answer is, wait a minute, just give me a moment before I do that. Let me give you some details on something else here real quick. I'll answer it, just give me a moment. First of all, there's a new poll out that shows Trump leads in terms of favorability in a hypothetical 2024 Republican primary. This is a Morning Consult survey coming out and found that Trump continuing to boost the highest favorability among potential GOP voters, 77% viewing him better than the others. Florida Governor DeSantis coming in second place with 68% viewing him as favorable. So see, you can have 77% rate Trump first, and of that 68% also said DeSantis. And then you also have former Vice President Pence, Nikki Haley, getting some ratings about 30 or over 50%. And I'm looking for Vivek Ramaswamy. He's jumped in late. He got something like 56%. Very interesting. These are all early. They mean nothing. The question from the person watching the Rumble, not sure. They say, want to know, who are you supporting, Trump or DeSantis? My answer is, I'm supporting the winner, whoever can beat and win for the Republicans. Based on that poll, it would look to be Trump. Based on moving forward, it might still be Trump. Based on these indictments, that would again ensure Trump. I'm going to vote for the winner. You? Remember our pledge, one nation under God.